There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Texts are coming in at the moment. Let's get to a few of those, Hanan.
Yeah, we have got a lot of messages coming in. Jan says, I love my phone as I can keep in contact with all my friends easily. We all chat via social media. Ollie says, we've become too reliant on our phones, but if you don't know better, then ignorance is bliss. It's tough to go back to the way we were.
Nomophobia. Ring any bells?
No.
Nomophobia. You might be one of these. You may be one of the growing number of global citizens who has a bit of nomophobia.
What is it?
Brand new term doing the rounds. No mobile phone phobia is a brand new term for the fear of not being able to use your cell phone or other smart device. Cell phone addiction is on the rise, surveys show, and a new study released just a couple of weeks ago adds to a growing body of evidence that smartphone and internet addiction is harming our minds quite literally. We spoke a little earlier on to the psychologist Dr. Kieran, who was telling us there are tests that we can do to see if we are addicted to devices, but there are surveys aplenty out there that seem to be backing this up. Survey by the Abu Dhabi Education Council here in the UAE shows that more than one in four, so a quarter of students in the UAE, use social media for 5 hours or more a day. 14.7% of students said they spend between 5 and 10, and 12.3% said more than 10 hours on social media. 41% of students said their social media habits had caused them to do without food or drink for a long time. And over half, 56.5%, said they had tried to quit social media within the past 12 months but were unsuccessful. Thankfully, not everybody has been unsuccessful. I had a couple of text messages coming in on this one. This one's come through from Bert out there this morning, but saying, too many things I enjoy are digital. I deleted my Facebook and other social media years ago, and I take regular breaks from sites such as Reddit, amongst others. I still play games and read news articles and watch YouTube videos and stuff. Being off of social media is a huge relief, though. It's cut down on how many people I interact with from the past, which has helped me move forward in a more healthy direction. And I don't have to constantly worry and edit myself because the wrong person might see me say the wrong thing.
Thorea says, I have a rule in my house that we all have to leave our phones by the door so we're more sociable and family oriented when we're at home. This has helped as my kids were on their phones too much to be healthy.
Tang's been in touch, saying I use my phone the most when I'm trying to procrastinate from doing something I know I should be doing. And I don't think anything else is more interesting than scrolling through Facebook or Instagram on my phone. I know it's pretty frustrating to be addicted to your phone, but I do think that making actual lifestyle changes will give you a more permanent solution than simply physically distancing yourself from your phone. I'm pretty sure there are many other lifestyle changes that you can make other than the ones that I have spoken about here. So thank you for that.
Dev's written in, he says, Tom, let's not be blindfolded. Anything, phone, internet, social media are critical life agents. Anything to curtail them is like attempting to cut leaves from a tree and stopping it from growing. Tomorrow it will send out new buds, and that knowledge you miss can just be as addictive and for more life. And Mr. Simon must have hit his head on a rock.
Great. We will have more on that one. We'll try and get Dev on the line in just a few moments' time as well, because he's a great advocate of the show. Talking of the lines, it's where we need to head now, because I want to introduce you to Alma. Now, Alma is a getaway for those seeking detox, creativeness, and a chance to switch off through a four-day retreat created to inspire a healthier body and a happier mind. It's located down in Ras Al Khaimah, first opened for weekend bookings last year in 2017. It's since returned with longer stays, new healthy menus, extra facilities, and more. It's only an hour's drive from Dubai, and it is the brainchild of the founder and CEO of Alma, Sarah Arnold, who joins us live on the line. Morning to you, Sarah.
Morning, how are you?
Very well indeed. Thanks for your time this morning. And I suppose that the perfect starting point here is to ask you about why the inspiration for opening Alma in the first place. And I think I pretty much answered it myself, but was it because of this growing demand for somewhere away from technology?
Yeah, to be honest, I think it's not just detox of technology, but it's kind of detox of anything that's kind of overwhelming and too much. I think a lot of global studies show that it's not even just technology, but the way to connect back with the roots, with nature and simplicity. And I think particularly in Dubai, we are often sort of surrounded by these beautiful big hotels and smartphones and media everywhere, so that we sort of forget the simple things like, I don't know, going for a morning walk in nature and being happy when you're in a simple room, but connect with people. And that was sort of the inspiration by it, connecting with real people instead of, you know, chatting on Instagram, creating a program that helps people to connect and really build real connections based on common interests, on healthy things, and also focus on themselves rather than, you know, kind of like the marble-floored bathroom. So it's a detox of a lot of different things. It's a detox of the luxury, it's a detox of television, it's a detox of video games, and also a technology detox.
How do you get, and how do you police, how do you get people to completely switch off?
And to be honest, we don't. So I have been thinking about it a lot, and we are discussing that with our customers as well. There are a couple of courses. I don't know if you're aware, for instance, Vipassana, which is a 10-day silent meditation class where you literally hand in the cell phone at the beginning, not just cell phone, even notebooks or anything, so that you are not sort of interacting with anything external. Now, what we recommend is, and through our schedule, is to basically leave the phone in your cabin and try to interact as possible, as much as possible, with the actual people. But at the same time, we don't want to be as rigid as a military academy or like, you know. So you sort of need to give people personal freedom. But I definitely noticed that a lot of people are not spending their whole time on their phones. In fact, a lot of them proactively really leave the phone in the cabin and use it as a getaway from information and data.
Hi, Sarah. This is a really interesting concept, obviously, for people who want to get away and escape, you know, all of the distractions of modern day life. Is there a certain age yeah. group that this concept appeals to mostly?
I would have thought so. So we definitely in the beginning encouraged to have people above 18, definitely, because for kids it's a little bit, you know, with a focus also on sport and healthy eating, and we want to give a perfect getaway for adults to connect back to their own kind of like soul, which is also what ALMA stands for. ALMA means soul in Spanish. And but what we have noticed, we even had in February a very lovely lady, she was 83. So I would have thought, you know, it's about 25 to 50, maybe 55. And our core clientele is definitely, let's say, mid-30s and 20s. But we have also had older guests that were enjoying themselves.
And what sort of tips can you give people? Obviously, they come away, you know, it's different breaking away and taking time out. What sort of tips can people take away from, you know, this type of retreat that they can incorporate into their real life so that they take that time out on a daily basis?
Yeah, I think it's really small steps. There's a couple of things. One is technology retreat, and the other is connecting back to really who you are yourself. So you know how we sort of started to really accept that we should incorporate regular exercise to keep a healthy body. However, in the Far East, it's been known for years, year thousands, that incorporating daily meditation practice is equally supportive for inner contentment. And I think kind of creating that quiet space, you know, where there's no phone, no nothing, and you connect back to your roots really and feel yourself is one of the first steps. And then probably, you know, rules like, for instance, keeping the phone really off in the evenings, switching it off in vacations. And sort of even, you know, what I did for a while is I timed myself how often I look at my phone, and I was also shocked to realize I probably do it every 5 or 10 minutes. Mm. And then I sort of just put it away and said, okay, you know what, if you look at your phone every 2 or 3 hours, nobody will die that I don't instantly respond, you know? Mm. Sometimes I do WhatsApp detox. I just basically don't look at it for days, simply because I feel I'm just sort of in this constant communication circle. You know,
you become a slave to it, don't you?
Exactly.
Yeah, it is. It's great. I'm loving the concept, and I'm sure others are. It seems to me something of an antidote to the very modern digital life that we're leading and the fast-paced life that we're leading. If people want to find out more, Sarah, about ALMA, what's the best way for them to get information?
I think the best is to either check out our website or send an email. The website is www.alma-retreat.com or iamalma.com. And, also send an email. In the next season, we will focus primarily on groups. So we will tailor bespoke events around well-being and healthy lifestyle, fun, sport activities, art, and meditation. And, I think it's a good way to sort of balance the hectic Dubai lifestyle to connecting back to where we originally sort of come from, right?
Good way to get perspective on life. Sarah, thanks so much indeed for your time this morning. Much appreciate it. All the best to you and all the team down at ALMA. That was Sarah Almond, the founder and CEO of ALMA in Ras Al Khaimah, Retreat for All. And judging by the perkiness of a certain Hanan Marafian studio out there, I think she might be signing herself up for the next season.
Yeah, I might go. It sounds like a great idea.
That floated your boat, didn't it, that one?
Yeah.
Share your thoughts. How do you detox from your digital life? Is it something that you feel is necessary? Are you in the same boat as Simon Cowell? Or are you completely contrary to Simon Cowell? Do you think that it is something that you just have to deal with these days? Pull your socks up and get on with it. Recent research indicates how cell phones are affecting our relationships. In a study titled My Life Has Become a Major Distraction from My Cell Phone, Meredith Davis and James Roberts suggested that the overuse of cell phones can lead to greater dissatisfaction within our most important relationships. According to their study, which included 145 adults, excessive device usage decreased marital satisfaction. A lot of thoughts coming through on today's talkers, and a number of you who are admitting to the fact that you have detoxed. This one has come through from Devendra out there, saying, I deleted Twitter and Snapchat years ago, never looked back. This year I deactivated Facebook and Instagram for about 4 months and it was wonderful. I wasn't on my phone as much and I got some new hobbies, more sleep and less of that comparison feeling I get from looking at other people's highlight reels of their life. Now I have Facebook and Instagram back, but only go on it 2 to 3 times a week. Thank you for those.
And Zoe says, I tried a phone detox once. I lasted a day and it drove me mad, but I have since cut down on social media. And Suresh says, phones are great, but they must be limited, otherwise it can take over your life. People nowadays are so busy on their phones, real life is passing them by.
So what's the solution? Let's go to the road down to Abu Dhabi, where we can catch up with Jacob, who joins us live on the line. Morning, Jacob.
Good morning.
Thanks very much indeed for reaching out to the show. You're with us here on The Agenda. Is there a solution to this? How do we combat mobile phone addiction?
Well, here's my personal experience. I did take on a new role in a company that required a 24/7 operation, and I allowed my crew to text me any time of the day using WhatsApp or whatever means, and I found that I was not getting enough rest. I was not sleeping, but I was not getting any rest. I did put in the hours of sleep, but I found that it got to a point where I was having health issues, and I eventually had a heart attack. Now, I was not at risk from any of the traditional, risks associated with a heart attack, like overweight or cholesterol or any of that. But this was just a The doctors told me later that they have seen an increasing trend of younger people getting heart attacks because they have no way to detox or de-stress. So I think a couple of suggestions that have been offered online might be the solution. Just like anything else in life, you have to realize that we make choices. We make choices to either be connected or not be connected. Mm. And we need to step back and see what would happen if we really were not connected all the time. Would 2 or 3 hours break really, cause our worlds to fall apart? So I think we need to get back to using our minds. So I think the solutions are simple, and everybody has them in their hands. They just don't want to do them.
So the changes we need to make are within ourselves, are they? We need to be smarter in our approach to smartphones.
That's correct.
And is this something that you've been able to implement since your awful heart attack and the health conditions that you've had? Have you been able to implement it? Have they made a difference?
Yes, they have made a difference. For one thing, yes, I do realize that at every level, as you rise up in your career, or if you look at the problems that the head of state deals with, they are much, much more than the day-to-day decisions that we deal with, or people, you know, who are not in positions of authority. So the way they handle it, and if you look at those who have successfully made it, is that they don't allow themselves to be overwhelmed with the information. They delegate. There's a time for technology. There's a time to break from it. They always rely on personal relationships. So I think some of the best ways to look at it is, what is the look at the competition to our smartphones. I mean, we can let technology compete with relationships. We can choose to be on Facebook rather than spend quality time with our family members. We can choose to have a mobile tablet as a babysitter rather than actually babysit your kid. And you eventually, down the road, you'll realize that these are things you messed up. So I think in my case, what I did is I decided to not be connected all the time. I decided that I would be available only between certain hours. The other thing I decided to do was spend more time doing things I really like to do, like gardening, or, you know, appreciating nature, or being cut off from, you know, concrete and high-rise buildings, and do walks in the park. So those things actually make you smarter, and eventually you can master technology and use it to your advantage.
Since you've made those changes, since you've implemented them, do you feel that your relationship with connectivity, with your smart device, is it a healthier and more rewarding space?
Yes, in fact, I'm more connected now, but the thing is, I'm in control.
Okay.
Before, I was connected, but I was not in control. Now I am more connected. I use technology more than I did 2 years back, when I consciously decided that I needed to make you know, some changes in my lifestyle. So I think the future is being connected. In fact, in my line of work, we're not just talking about, you know, people talking to you. We're talking about machines, smart machines talking to you, telling you, you know, this is the status of my health. You know, it might sound weird, but that's a technology, that's the realm we're moving in. Your car talking to you, your car telling you that I need a checkup.
Yeah.
So that's just like another message. So where are you going to be in control of these things, you know, if you just let it go? I mean, I don't think the solution is just saying technology will find solutions. I think we still need to take a step back and see how this is affecting us. If it is affecting us adversely, then we could probably do with less of it.
And your advice to other listeners out there, Jacob, is to do that sooner rather than later, before it gets too late. Because I'm fascinated by the fact that you had no sort of traditional symptoms of high blood pressure or stress or unhealthy habits, if you like. It was something that almost took you by surprise, the heart attack.
Yes, it was. And it, all my close friends, too, were very surprised.
Yeah.
They thought I was at the least risk of having a health issue like this. But I had to learn the hard way. And they have also learned from my experience.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think what we do need to realize is time is something we're never going to get back. So at the end of the day, you know, after your kids are grown up, do you really want to regret, you know, having spent hours on Facebook and being connected with the rest of the world and not giving your own kids the time they needed? And then you wonder why they don't want to spend time with you. So those are all opportunities to bond with your kids or with people you love. And then you're bonded with technology and some virtual thing out there, you know. So I think you just need to be smarter than our smartphones or any technology that's going to come out.
That is your phrase of the day, Jacob. Thank you very much indeed for putting it on text for us as well. Be smarter than your smartphone. I love it. Thanks very much indeed, Jacob. Thanks for your time.
Yes, appreciate it.
Team have been out and about this morning getting the thoughts of some of our colleagues here in the office, asking them exactly the question that we've been asking you today. Troots and the rest of the team have been out and about quizzing some of our colleagues. What was the question that you posed to the likes of Tim, Mo and all?
Well, I asked them, what is your smartphone addiction story?
Let's hear from Tim from Drive Live.
What happened was, for Drive Live a few years ago, we ran an experiment, and the experiment was, could you survive without your phone for 24 hours? And of course, we both went, no problem, that's easy. So at 4 o'clock, Lisa, who was producing the program, took her phones off us and said, right, you get the phones back tomorrow afternoon, 4 o'clock, just before you start, and we'll sit and work out what went on. So we said, fine. So I finished the show, 7 o'clock, as normal, drove home, got home, and my wife and son are at home looking at me saying, so where's Dana? Dana is my daughter. At the time, she'd have been, I'm guessing, about 7. So I looked and went, well, I didn't get a reminder on my phone, so I hacked it up to Jebel Ali, where she was at a gymnastics class, got there, screeched to a halt, dust flying, stone chippings flying everywhere, and the gymnastics teacher's there twiddling her thumbs in a rather vigorous fashion, and my little girl's there saying, so Daddy, did you forget me? Did you forget me? And that brought home to me everything about mobile phones. We use them for so many things. I use it for reminders all the time. If I have to be somewhere, it dings, it tells me. They're hard to live without.
So that's the cold hard truth of a non-digital native admitting, just showing that his life had been affected.
That's pretty epic, isn't it?
What about a digital native, though? Because we also put it to Mo, didn't we, upstairs in the newsroom?
Yes, we did.
So I think it's fair to say he's a digital native, isn't he? He's
definitely
grown up as within the digital age. So what about he? Could he do the same?
Right, so this was a couple of months ago. I was in South Africa with my family, and we had gone on a safari. And there was one day when a magnificent male lion walked right by our car, and I realized straight away that the first thing that all the 6 people in our car did was whip out their smartphones and literally just film this entire moment. So I just realized that no one really experienced the moment on its own. We were all looking at it through our smartphones, and that made me realize how addicted we are to our devices.
I got an example of that recently when we was talking to somebody who's involved in the travel trade here, and they were talking about the record numbers of tourists that are going to Rome at the moment. And both of you are individuals who love your travel, etc. And obviously one of the things you must do when you go to Rome is the Trevi Fountain. And he was saying that the main trend at the moment is these, and there's a lot of erosion in and around the Trevi Fountain. There's a lot of problems trying to maintain the area, etc. Extraordinary piece of sculpture, extraordinary piece of architecture, extraordinary piece of engineering that needs to be experienced firsthand to take into question. But so the main trend at the moment is that people walk into the square in which you find the Trevi Fountain looking at their mobile phone. They will, obviously, you know, trying to find it on a map or something like that, they'll get to the Trevi Fountain. They'll then turn their back on the Trevi Fountain, take a selfie with the Trevi Fountain in the background, and then walk out of the square.
Oh, didn't actually look at it.
The majority of people have not actually looked at the Trevi Fountain with their own eyes.
That's terrible.
But such has become this idea, the demand to share, you know. So it's rather than indulge yourself in the moment and in that piece, it has to be, look, I'm in front of the Trevi Fountain. I need to share it with everyone else.
Yeah, I'm not even going to look at it. I'm just going to take a photo of me with it. That's mad.
It annoys me at like museums and paintings, especially the Mona Lisa. Yeah. The number of people who stand around the Mona Lisa taking a selfie, and then they go around taking photos of the paintings. Are you really going to look back at them? Are you going to go through your photos and be like, oh yeah, I was at the Louvre and I saw this painting through my smartphone?
I do take photos, but I wouldn't necessarily I don't think I'd take a selfie.
But you take a photo of the Mona Lisa?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. I like
you
memories.
You find it online.
I'm a massive memory person. I'm obsessive about photos.
Okay.
Didn't you know that? Yeah, I am. It's true.
Worrying?
No, not really. It's just I do look back at my photos. Yeah, I like looking back at the things I've done
that's
and
good.
Things I've seen.
That's nice. Experienced. So you took a photo of you. Not yourself.
No, I don't do selfies.
You just took a photo of the Mona Lisa and have kept it for posterity.
Yeah. And I look back, like when I went to the Louvre, I took photos. And I do look back. I'll show you them later. See, if someone said, oh,
I
really want to go to the Louvre, but I haven't had a chance, I'm like, I'll show you some pics.
No, no, see, that's the thing. That's where it goes wrong. I'd love to go to the Louvre. I'd love to go and see it. I really want to go see the... You don't need to. Look, I took a photo of it whilst I was there. So this will give you that true spiritual experience of standing in front of the Mona Lisa. Look, it's me taking a photo on my mobile phone.
No, not me in a selfie.
No, not you in the selfie. It's just me with my mobile phone taking a photo of one of the most
really good photo.
Priceless pieces of art in the world at the moment. This one, a whole conversation has been prompted by a certain Simon Cowell, amongst others as well. If you haven't heard, Simon Cowell did a piece recently in one of the papers in which he said that he has got himself off mobile phones. He's not used one for 10 months and he's feeling much better.
He's one of the busiest men in the entertainment industry. But don't expect Simon Cowell to answer the phone for just anyone these days. The music mogul revealing to the Mail on Sunday that he hasn't been on his cell phone for 10 months and that it has been so good for his mental health and it has absolutely made him happier. Cowell also admitting that ditching his phone has been a very strange experience, but he's become way more focused. Some research suggests smartphone usage is linked to decreased mental health, depression, and even loneliness.
We get squirrely when we don't have our device for an extended period of time. Well, that tells us something. That tells us that we've developed an over-dependent reliance on our screens. We've become the tools of our tools.
Pretty soon, Apple and Android users might be able to curb their phone habits with, what else? Their smartphone. Google revealing last month that its next version of Android software will include an app dashboard, which will show you how much time you spend using your phone and the apps that you use the most, along with a timer that will let you set time restrictions for your daily app usage. And this morning, Apple is reportedly set to announce similar tools as part of its new software strategy at the Worldwide Developers Conference in San Jose. Cowell also said, and this is a huge pet peeve of mine, it irritates him when he's in a meeting and everyone's on their phones, no one's present, but he admits he's probably been guilty of that.
And let's get back to today's talker. Just final thoughts on this one, as we've been, of course, digitally detoxing. Is that the answer to our digital woes out there? What have people been saying? Hanan Marafi.
Yeah, Rayanne says, I use my phone to work and socialize, so it would be really hard for me to give it up. I have grown up with this technology since I was so young that it's hard to imagine life without it. And Tina says, my kids are on their phones way too much. They're teenagers now, and it's hard to limit this. But mobile phones didn't even exist when I was a child, so I find it hard to understand this obsession.
Sarah Arnold is the CEO and founder of Alma Detox Retreat.
Particularly in Dubai, we are often sort of surrounded by these beautiful big hotels and smartphones and media everywhere, so that we sort of forget the simple things like, I don't know, going for a morning walk in nature and being happy when you're in a simple room, but connect with people. And that was sort of the inspiration by it, connecting with real people instead of, you know, chatting on Instagram.
Thanks very much indeed to Wilder, who's been in touch. I was back in Europe last week. It was half term and it was really noticeable that so many parents were taking their kids out to tourist places, walking around towns, etc., visiting supermarkets. Just how many of those parents were just playing or talking on their phones? Talk to them. They'll remember when they grow up you didn't care about them enough to talk to them. Thank you for that.
And G says, I stopped using my phone for a week and it was so refreshing. It's hard not to be contactable with my job though, so it only lasted a week. And Priya says, when I go on vacation I turn my phone off and it's such a good feeling. You instantly feel more relaxed.
Thank you for all of your comments. Thanks for all of your contributions. Shruti, thank you very much indeed to you.
Thank you.
Milani, thanks to you. Thanks also to you, Hanan.
Pleasure.
Thanks to all of the contributors to the show. And of course, we'll be back tomorrow with a finale for the week. We're going to play out the thoughts of Jacob. He'll take us up to the news headlines at midday. Till tomorrow, bye-bye.
I did take on a new role at a company that required a 24/7 operation, and I allowed my crew to text me any time of the day using WhatsApp or whatever means. And I found that I was not getting enough rest. I was not sleeping, but I was not getting any rest. I did put in the hours of sleep, but I found that it got to a point where I was having health issues and I eventually had a heart attack. Now, I was not at risk from any of the traditional risks associated with a heart attack, like overweight or cholesterol or any of that. But this was just the doctors told me later that they have seen an increasing trend of younger people getting heart attacks because they have no way to detox or de-stress.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.